Hey there, everybody. Time for another movie retrospective, like we do.
Yeah.
This one is actually was one of the ones that was in the pile of DVDs that I showed you guys that I bought at FYE. That they had all the used DVDs and Blu-rays that were like super cheap, and I was really, really excited to get my grubby little mitts on this one because I've always really, really liked this movie. This is The Ring from 2002.
I'd never seen it.
Yeah, I actually saw this in the theater. I'm going to say, obviously, most people probably know this, but this is a remake of a Japanese movie that came out in 1998 that was called Ringu. And this was actually the first, I mean, so not only is this a great movie, but it's also kind of an important movie because this was the first of the American remakes of all the Asian films that, like, there was a whole flood of them that happened, like, after this came out because this one was so successful. You know, they did Dark Water, they did The Grudge, they did One Missed Call, Pulse, pretty much every Japanese, Chinese, Thai horror movie that had done any sort of business over in Asia got an American remake. This was the first one, and this was easily the best one. And I'm actually gonna go, I don't know if this is out on a limb or not, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, I think this is better than the Japanese original, and I do not say that lightly. Because most of the other ones weren't. Dark Water was pretty good, the one with Jennifer Connelly in it, but other than that, the other ones were just, none of them were as good as the originals, but this one, I think, was much better. So, I saw this in the theater when it first came out in 2002, and I had never seen the original. I saw it later. This movie scared the shit out of me. It creeped me out so much. I was like thinking about it for like days and days afterward, like weirded out by the shit. Like, I think that, and I wasn't a kid. I mean, I think I was 30 when this came out. So I didn't like have an excuse of being like a teenager or anything like that. Yeah, it really fucking bothered me. And like for a week afterward, which a week that's significant because of how shit goes in the movie. But, you know, every time, like, I'd pass by a TV, I'd be like, is that shit gonna come on? And then, like, there'll be, the little flickering image of the well on there, and I'll be like, you know what I mean? It'll be, like, this horrible. Yeah, but there is something about this movie that is just so unsettling. There's just something really, really creepy about it. And they don't really make a lot of movies like that. I mean, I can count on one hand... I mean, I love horror movies, and they don't have to, like, scare me and shit, but I can count on one hand the ones that bothered me so much that I was still thinking about them, like, an hour, like, you know, like, a week later, and was, like, totally fucking creeped out by it. So, okay, so, as I said, this actually came out in 2002. It was, like, a massively successful film. I think they made it for under 50 mil, and it ended up making, like, 250 million around the world. And it was so successful that it led to, like, these remakes of all these other Asian films. And it also led to two sequels, The Ring 2, which came out in 2005. And then there was a short film that was just called Rings. And it was supposed to take place between the first movie and the second one. But then in 2017, they made a full-length movie called Rings. I haven't seen either of the sequels, but... I was watching something today that had, like, a bunch of clips from the sequel, from The Ring 2, and, like, a guy kind of breaking it down and talking about it, and it sounds, like, dumb as hell. Because it sounds like they got Naomi Watts back, they got the kid that played her son back, so it had, like, big stars, and it had, like, Sissy Spacek was in a small role and stuff. But I think they lost a lot of the magic of the original because they didn't really, it was just more like a straight-up revenge ghost possession story, whereas the first one had the urban legend aspect of the you know, the cursed videotape and stuff like that. And I think they kind of lost that kind of cool aspect of it in the second one, and it just went in a straightforward sort of direction. Plus, I think the second one had, like, a bunch of, like, shit looking CGI, so that never helps. But the thing I always liked about this movie, it's not a particularly gory film. It's all about atmosphere, and it's completely and utterly just drenched in this just really creepy, eerie kind of atmosphere. They filmed it, I don't know if they filmed it in Seattle, but it's supposed to be set in Seattle. It's pretty much raining, like, through the whole movie, and the whole movie just has this really, like sickly, like blue green kind of cast over it. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like there's no color in it. And it just has this like kind of pause. It's always very cloudy. Everything's always wet. You know, it kind of looks like that. It reminded me a little bit what we were talking about when we were talking about Dagon, yeah. About how everything looks wet. Everything looks wet in this movie, which, you know, it stands to reason because, that's how.
I think maybe your appreciation for giallo movies helped you appreciate this one. I didn't see it when it came out.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really, you know, I wasn't there when it came out.
Yeah.
You know? So I didn't really, it didn't really make an impression on me.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's atmospheric. I get that sometimes, but I had to have a lot more story elements, you know what I mean? Like, it has to be pretty fast-paced for me. I remember this movie not really keeping my attention too much.
Yeah, it's actually more like, I mean, it's obviously a horror movie, but it also has elements of, like, a mystery. It's like a detective story. Because basically what it is, Naomi Watts is the main character. Now, at the beginning, there's these two teenage girls, and they're talking about the urban legend about this, you know, cursed videotape. And supposedly, you watch it, and then your phone rings, and a voice on the other end of the phone says 7 days, like you're going to die in 7 days. And so they're talking about it, and then one of the girls is like, shit, I think I've seen that videotape that you're talking about. It's real. And then they're kind of like, oh, no, I'm just kidding, and blah, blah, blah. But then it turns out she did see it, and then she dies. In a really, really horrible way. And honestly, that's really one of the best scenes. There's a lot of great scenes in this movie, but one of the best scenes in this movie, and it was so fucking well done. There's not, like, jump scares or anything like that, really. Like, sometimes it'll kind of cut to, like, a really shocking image that you weren't expecting, but it's not, you know, it's not the same kind of thing where it's like you're sneaking up on somebody and, like, boo, you know, it's not really like that. But there's this really great scene where, because Naomi Watts plays the girl who dies, that was her niece. So she's talking to her sister about how the girl died and how her mom, like, found her in the closet and she was all fucked up and, like, her face was all distorted and stuff. And then suddenly, like, the film cuts to her and it's just this horrible, like, she's just sitting all in the closet and her face is just, like, this horrible, horrible image. Yeah. And I think that when I first saw this in the theater, and when I first saw that scene, I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, you know what I mean? Because it looks so, so creepy.
I think maybe this is the first movie to kind of do a lot of this kind of stuff. Like you said, it was one of the first. And so many came afterwards that, to me, it didn't make the same kind of impression because it seemed kind of like samey because of all the ones that copied
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
So because I wasn't there at the time, it just seemed like, to me, it just kind of seemed generic.
Well, yeah, because this was the first one to do the whole...
I'm not
whole...
seeing it in the context of the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I mean, this was right. The first one to do the whole Asian trope. Because if you were into Asian horror, which a lot of people weren't, like, back then, it was kind of, like, still a real underground thing. You didn't get the whole, that whole Yurei trope of, like, you know, the long-haired, the ghosts with the long black hair and the white dresses that are, like, coming out of shit and, like, moving all weird and stuff.
It looks like a Japanese monster from the 1700s.
Yeah, like, nobody, you know, nobody in mainstream cinema in the United States had really seen that before. So when The Ring came out, it was, like, seemed really fresh and new.
Yokai monster.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was.
Right.
So I think that helped as well. But like I said, I've seen some of the other remakes. Like, I've seen some of the original ones. Like, I really like the original Grudge, which was called Ju-On. The remake was all right, but it wasn't, you know, anything to write home about. It was a little, I just didn't think it had much to it. But like I said, I think this one was way better. Ringu is good. It's just, I don't think it's as scary. You know what I mean? This one, I think, has... The strength of this one, all the actors are good. They actually, the cursed videotape itself, the imagery on it is way creepier and way more unsettling than the videotape from the original movie. And I like that they kind of show it and they don't really give you any context. It's just like all these are like really, really weird like images and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? And then like throughout the course of the movie, like I said, they made it almost like a psychic detective story or something like that, where she's trying to figure out where this tape came from and what these images are and what they mean, you know, before she dies, because she watched the videotape and she only has 7 days.
I remember correctly, it was like drowned horses washed up on a seashore, wasn't that some of the images?
Yeah.
And What else was it?
There was like a there was like a woman like looking over her shoulder in a mirror. There was like a little box that full of like twitching severed fingers. It was like a a little fly. There's like a big horse eyeball.
Yeah.
There was all that kind of stuff. So it's just, and I love shit like that because I'm a big fan of like old creepy like silent movies, and I love shit like and actually the videotape in this reminded me a lot of the movie Begotten. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It came out in the 90s, but he made it look like an old like silent film from the 20s. And it's like super nightmarish and like super disturbing. It's just, it's this really horrible, like grotty looking, like, you know what I mean? It looks like this really old film. And it's sort of like, it doesn't really have like a story. It's more like a symbolic type story. But just the images on it are just so fucking creepy.
I saw something on the internet that was kind of like that. It looked like an old late 1800s or early 1900s type movie where this guy walking through the woods in a weird outfit and there's like nooses. And is that the same one you're talking about?
I think that might be
it. It's only like about 20 minutes long.
No, actually, it's a full-length movie.
Okay,
so but they might have, I mean, people might have taken, like, pieces of it. There's a very famous image from Begotten of a guy, like, sitting in a chair in a corner, and, like, his mouth is, like, really big like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, all his, like, fucking intestines, he's, like, barfing up his intestines or something like that. That's from Begotten.
And there's some stuff where it looks like kind of like evil Greek gods that are all rotten and stuff, too?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's a creepy fucking movie. Like I said, it's silent. There's not really a plot. It's just
imagery.
A symbolic movie. Like, it does make sense if you kind of like analyze it and see it a bunch of times. Like the symbolism does make sense. But it's just, I get that vibe from, the videotape that was in The Ring. It's like it has very much of that type of thing, which I think is why it creeped me out. Because I'm always creeped out by just these contextless images that are like unsettling, but you don't know why, you don't know what they are and shit like that. So as the story goes on, as I said, now Naomi Watts, I don't think she believes at first this whole urban legend about the tape. Like I said, her niece died like that, and then she finds out that her niece was up at this like cabin with her friends, and they had all watched the video. And not only had her niece died 7 days after they had been at the cabin and watched this video, but all her other friends had died too in like these really weird accidents. And they all had these like weird distorted faces like when they were found, and the doctors couldn't figure out like what they had died of exactly. So then she's kind of like, okay, well, maybe there's something to this. She's actually a reporter. So her sister asked her to look into it because she wanted to figure out what happened to her daughter, obviously. So she starts investigating where this tape came from. She goes up to the cabin and she finds the videotape like in the fucking, in the lobby or whatever, because they said, oh, we have all these tapes and you can watch them in your cabin or whatever when you're on vacation. And there's one that it's unmarked, and perhaps like a dumbass, well, like I said, you wouldn't really think that the tape is going to kill you. So she wanted to watch it to see what was going on. So she watches the videotape, phone rings, 7 days, says a voice over the phone, and she's like, fuck me. So then, like, she almost immediately, now some people have complained about this, but this didn't bother me so much. She almost immediately, like, shows it to her ex-boyfriend or ex-husband or something like that, because he's like a video analyst or something like, or has some kind of job like that. So she's like, what the fuck is up with this? And so she shows it to him. But I don't think he really believes it either, because he's like, well, I want to see it. And she's like, well, I don't really want to show it to you. But he ends up watching it anyway. And so, so they have to kind of like figure out what it is. Now, the interesting thing is that as the movie goes on, and I said I love shit like this because I love the detective aspect of this, because as you're going through the movie, you're finding out, you're seeing like images from the video, like in real life, you know what I mean? And you're finding out like what it all leads to. And the cool thing about it is that basically what's at the center of this, and I think I talked about this a little bit on our show that we did on Ted Serios, like the thoughtography type of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's where the videotape came from, as it turns out. There's this little girl, and her name is Samara. She was an adopted girl. And she apparently had the ability to do that. She could put images onto film. She could also put images into people's heads. And the images she was putting in people's heads were really, really horrible. So it turned out that she had been adopted by this one woman who was infertile, and she had worked on a farm, and there were all these horses. That's why there was, like, horses in the video. And it was her mom that was in the video, too, like, in the mirror and stuff. But what Samara was doing was that she was, you know, like I said, not only putting images in the head of her mom and her dad and stuff like that, but also in the images of the horses, when the horses were, like, killing themselves because they were, she was, like, driving them crazy. So, yeah, so it turned out that she had made this videotape, like, with her mind, essentially. It was, like, you know, images from her mind that she had projected, like, onto the film. Now, the central image of the film, The Ring, and when you see the poster, like, the very famous tagline is, "Before you die, you see the ring," which I loved that because it's, like, a multi-layered, just, like, you know, yeah, you're watching this movie and you're gonna die, you're watching the videotape and you're gonna die, but also, Samara, it turns out, was killed by her mother. Her mom basically put a bag over her head and suffocated her, or so she thought, and threw her down a well and then pushed the top over the well. But Samara wasn't dead. She was down there in the well for 7 days, which is why the curse lasts for 7 days. Mm. And the ring is the last thing she saw. It was the top of the well over with the light around it, like coming in around it. Now, another cool thing about it, and I didn't even think about this until I was watching another breakdown of this movie, like, earlier today. They're like, not only does the ring signify the top of the well that Samara saw before she died, it also signifies, because the only way that you can save yourself from the curse is by making a copy of the tape. And so it's a ring in the way that you have to, like, pass it to somebody else and it has to come back
like
around
you. So,
like a circle.
Right.
Which that didn't even occur to me. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Because they don't know what ends up happening. Naomi Watts' character, Rachel, she watched it, but she finds out, I mean, she goes through and she investigates and all this other kind of shit, and then her little kid, Aiden, watched it too, so then she has, like, added incentive, because she's like, he's gonna die if I don't figure out what's at the, what, if I don't get to the bottom of this. She ends up finding the well, finding out that Samara was killed by her mother, and then she goes down in the well and finds Samara's body in there. Because what you're thinking, and when you're watching the movie, you're thinking this as well, that you're thinking, oh, well, Samara just wanted somebody to know what happened to her and find her and, like, give her a proper burial, like a normal ghost story, right? Like, you think that that's what's going to solve it, like, that that's what the little girl's been trying to tell everybody. So Naomi Watts is like, oh, I found her body. They bring Samara's body out. They give her a proper burial. Naomi Watts doesn't die. So she thinks that she has it all figured out. And then it turns out that Aiden, her son, who has kind of been in some sort of weird, like, psychic link with Samara somehow, like, he keeps drawing pictures of her and, like, he seems to know about her. He says to his mom in this, like, horrifying scene, he's like, you weren't supposed to help her. Like, now she's fucking loose. Because the thing about it was that all through the movie, you're kind of thinking, oh, this poor little girl that was in this mental hospital, and she had this power, and she was, like, doing this shit to people, and she couldn't help it, but that wasn't what it was. She was an evil motherfucker, and she was doing that shit on purpose, because yeah. She was evil. And her whole thing was that she wanted people to make copies of the video to pass around. She wanted everybody to see that shit and suffer yeah. and die, just like she had suffered and died. So she wanted to, like, spread the misery. So that was kind of the big twist, like, at the end, because you think, oh, they found the body, everything's fine now, especially since Naomi Watts' character didn't die after they did that, but then, yeah, you find out that wasn't, how it rolled. And it's funny, because as soon as Naomi Watts' character figures that out, she's like, oh, shit, her ex-boyfriend had also watched the video, but by the time she gets to his house, he's already fucked up. Yeah. And that's probably one of the best. I mean, there's, like I said, there's a lot of great scenes in this movie. The one with the where they first show the girl at the beginning, like, in the closet with her face all fucked up. The scene where the horse fucking runs off the ferry, like, and he's all, like, trips off the end of the ferry, and then, like, he gets all ground up in the fucking propeller. That's a great scene. And the most iconic scene, which turns up on a lot of like scariest horror movie lists and stuff like that, is where Naomi Watts' boyfriend, Noah, is in his thing. And he had watched the video 7 days before. So his TV comes on and he's like, huh, I wonder why my TV came on. It's like static and stuff. Then there's the image of the well. Samara crawls out of the well and the videotape, she gets closer and closer. She fucking crawls out of the TV and then she's all like flickering and shit. And she crawls across the floor and she fucks them all up. So yeah, it's just like, yeah, this is like, it's such a good movie. And I know, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people, when it first came out, I think a lot of people pissed and moaned. It's like, oh, it's not as good as the original and they messed it up and shit. But I think in ensuing years, I think people have kind of come down from that. I know that there's some people that prefer the original, and that's totally fine. I like the original, too. I just think it wasn't nearly as scary as this one. Like I said, just the imagery on the tape wasn't as scary. It wasn't, the plot wasn't as cohesive. It seemed like it was a lot more, you know, not ambiguous necessarily, but it didn't hang together that well.
I know it's a Japanese storytelling. Doesn't always... isn't a real cohesive story.
Well, it's they have a different structure, yeah. I noticed. And when, particularly when I saw Ju-on, The Grudge, and then I saw the remake of The Grudge, and it seemed like when they did the American remake, which I think had Sarah Michelle Gellar in it, if I'm remembering correctly, they tried to do it, like, they tried to structure it like the original. And, you know, and I think I might have mentioned this before, but Western stories, we tend to do, you know... you know, you're kind of like going up to a climax and then down to a denouement. You know, it kind of looks like a, not like a parabola, but kind of, you know what I mean? Just kind of like
looks like an orgasm.
Like, yeah, kind of like that. Whereas, like, I feel like Asian stories are more like episodic. You know what I mean? Because particularly The Grudge, where it was kind of like there was this one house and there was like the little ghost that went, or whatever that noise was that he made. And, it sort of like followed three different families that lived in this house and kind of the same thing happened to them, but then it started over and then they did it again. So they have more of like a cyclical type of narrative thing where we have more like a rising action, falling action.
Well, I think
type
our
of thing.
Stuff is all based upon like Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly. It's not...
It's got opening acts, and then there's, like, a complication, and then a resolution. You know, that's that kind of stuff. There's
yeah.
a structure.
Yeah.
There's basically a beginning, a middle, and end to ours. They don't really have that.
No, and that,
all,
yeah.
All you gotta do is just look at anime, and anime sometimes will just drive you crazy, because it's basically like kabuki, really. A bunch of people talking in the middle of a damn storm, with a bunch of stuff flying. Yeah, I mean, like something's exploded, and then the guy's going to tell you why his whole motivation and everything, you know? Tell you his whole life story before the explosion has totally engulfed the area. You know, this crazy shit, you know? Time doesn't flow right in them.
Well, I feel like, I mean, if you didn't grow up with that expectation...
Super dramatic and shit. You know, everybody's yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to see The Grudge and being like... Okay, well, like, because it seemed like, oh, this little story happened with this one family. I'm like, what? That was only like 20 minutes. And then, like, another family moved into the house, and then same thing happened again. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're just like, they just showed like three families, like, in the same thing. And I was like, yeah, it was really weird because I was like, are we doing this again? Yeah, we saw this already. But that's just how they do
it. That's how they tell stories.
Right. Although I do think, I mean, Ringu was not so much like that. It did, it's based on a novel, so, you know, it did kind of have. You know, a structure to it that was similar to the American one, but I feel like the American one was just more, you know, it just held together more, and it was, you know, easier to follow. It was a lot more compelling. The characters were a lot more compelling. You know, it had that really great atmosphere to it, and, you know, it just seemed a lot creepier to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, your mileage may vary. I'm not sure. Now, I heard, too, like I said, I haven't seen the American sequels. Now, the original Japanese version, Ringu, has had, like, a fucking billion sequels. I don't even know. And,
yeah,
like, they have, like, you know, they have, like, fights between Samara, who I think is called Sadako over there, and, like, some of the other girls that are in some of the other movies, like the one in The Grudge versus her and shit like that. But what I found out, and I almost kind of wish that I didn't know this, but... in the sequels to Rengu, you find out that Samara, the character Samara, is actually only half human, that her father is basically... The one video I saw, he's like, he's basically Cthulhu. Because he's like, well, because he's like a sea demon.
Right. Okay.
Which is why you get like all the water imagery and why, like, when, you know, like, there's always water like coming out of the TV and shit like that, like when she comes out. I mean, you didn't really need to go there because the water thing was explained adequately in the first movie by the fact that she died in the bottom of a well that was all full of water. So I feel like that was explained adequately. You didn't need to, like, keep piling on so there was like demons and stuff. And I like that there was a supernatural element to the first one, but I just feel like that was going too far. That, like I said, the American remakes didn't do that, but apparently all of the Japanese remakes, either in the second one or the third one, they kind of went in that direction. So she's kind of like not even a person, which I don't think they implied that in the first one. I mean, she was adopted. And I don't think they really specified, like, where she came from or where she got those weird powers from that she could, like, put creepy images in people's, or why she was so evil and stuff. But I don't think they implied that she was, like, a demonic or that she was not human or anything. I don't know. But, yeah, so I just, like, I heard that today and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm kind of glad I didn't watch all the Japanese sequels now because that sounds stupid as hell. But yeah, I mean, this is easily my favorite of all the Japanese remakes, the one that I think is a lot better. Easily one of my favorite horror movies of the 2000s, you know, by quite a large margin. So, you know, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you probably have, because I think pretty much everyone in the world has probably seen it at this point.
I didn't see it.
But, yeah, well, it's kind of like... You know, I know it came out in 2002, which I guess was a long time ago now, but I think I'm pretty safe in calling it a horror classic. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a modern classic.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, check it out, even though I just spoiled everything.
Yeah, you told all the stories.
Well, you know, we've started doing that on these.
Big whole spoiler alert. Okay.
Well, yeah, we said that on some of the movie reviews before.
It was a well-made movie, you know? From what I remember of it, it really didn't pull me. It wasn't my type of story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Certain people are for certain kind of movies. It just really wasn't my kind of movie.
It's not, like I said, it's one, it's very atmospheric, and it's more like a detective story, like a mystery.
Yeah.
It's like a mystery with supernatural elements that has, like, a real, like, atmospheric sort of. And like I said, and Naomi Watts is, like, fucking sensational in it. I love her. She's in, you know, obviously she was in Mulholland Drive.
Didn't really
pull
me in, but I can see how some people might like it.
Yeah, and like I said, this is one of the very, very few movies that scared the fucking piss out of me when I saw it in the theater. It really bothered me. Like, I was, like, for several days afterward, I was, like, creeped out by the fucking idea of it. And, I mean, that's, like, a testament to the director, Gore Verbinski. He would later go on to do the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. But to take something as kind of out there as, like, an urban legend about a cursed videotape that'll kill you if you watch it, and actually kind of made me buy it. Like, I'm kind of sitting there going, I wonder if, like, now I've seen the videotape, like, in the movie, now I'm going to die in 7 days. Shit. So I think they did a really good job of kind of, like, doing... Because they had a really good marketing campaign, too, where they would just show the videotape, like, the cursed videotape, like, they would show it on TV, like, without saying what it was. You know what I mean? So people would be like, what the fuck is this shit?
Right.
You know, it's all these creepy, like, little fingers twitching and shit like that. But yeah, so check it out if you haven't already. And remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you would like to financially support the show, we would really appreciate it, and we would love you forever.
Mash that button. Mash that like button.
Mash it.
Mash it. Smash it. Mash
it.
Is the southern version. You gotta mash it.
Yeah, you gotta mash it.
Mash it.
Mash it down with your finger.
Yeah.
Poke it. Stroke it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
No,
mash that like
button. That went off in a weird direction. Didn't have any meaning.
Share and subscribe.
Yeah, share and subscribe. Like I said, right. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a button in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to give a one-time donation. Remember, the movie retrospectives come out every Friday. We also have 13 o'clock matinee, 3 new movies in the theater. That comes out every Sunday. And our regular episodes come out every Tuesday. So check them out if you haven't already. We will see you next time. Bye.